This podcast replay is brought to you by A. Lenny Locksmith Services. From lockouts to lock changes for home or business, car key replacements, and programming for all model cars. 24 hours a day, go to the website at alennylocksmith.com.
Hey, there he is. It is time for the lockdown segment. How you doing, Georgie? You doing all right?
I'm good, Orlando. What's going on, bud?
So what'd you think of the Avalanche taking it to the Lightning and getting it done? 4-2. Those first two games, I was like, oh, crap. They look like the better team. And then Tampa came back and on that game three, and I thought they were going to make it nice and interesting. But, man, you got to give the Avalanche credit, brother. They can fly.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched that game, but that third period, Colorado absolutely just smothered them. They did exactly what Tampa Bay did to the Panthers there in that third period. Two shots allowed. I mean, you've got a desperate team, an exhausted team. I'll give them that. But a desperate team trying to keep its season alive, trying to go for that three-peat, and you hold them to two shots on goal in 20 minutes. That's amazing. Credit to the Colorado Avalanche. I think there was talk all year. Who is the better team, the Florida Panthers or the Avalanche? Panthers got off to the better start. Panthers got the President's Trophy. Colorado, obviously.
It was because we didn't respect the conference. And that's all.
That's true, too. And the Avalanche had a much easier road. So.
Right. Yeah. That we looked at the conference and we said, all right, they're good, but their conference is so shitty that they're feasting on and then wait till they have to play the East. And the bottom line was they would have been the best team in the Eastern Conference, too. And we just didn't respect the Western Conference because those you guys that know way more than I do thought the same thing. And then when I'm watching, you know, the NHL channel or anything else that I'm watching, there was never that respect for the Western Conference like the East. There was always the talk about how deep the East was. And it is. It is incredibly deep. Oh, you're incredibly right.
It was a much tougher to get through the East. That's why I give so much respect to Tampa Bay.
And
we also looked at Colorado's goaltending situation.
That too. You're right.
And Colorado was good enough to get away from it. Colorado was good enough, and that's what we thought maybe Florida would have to do. Florida would have to win despite its goaltending. That was not the case in these playoffs with Sergei Bobrovsky, but we thought Florida might have to do that. Colorado was able to do that. Colorado was able to overcome mediocre goaltending. Not great, not bad, but not great, and they were – They never seemed to be out of control, and there you go. They're your champions.
All right, so tell me about Maurice, because I speak.
Paul Maurice, yeah. On the pop-
okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I went Steve Miller on you. Your thoughts on Maurice after all this time?
It's obvious the Panthers felt like at this point in time, with this team that they've got, they wanted an experienced voice. We talked about it on your show last week. And Paul Maurice was in the conversation. I wasn't sure that Paul Maurice really wanted to get back into coaching. He felt like the Winnipeg Jets locker room was in such disrepair that he couldn't get through to them. So he resigns in December. I heard that night, Tuesday night, as I was in the gift shop of the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, about 7 hours after we spoke, I heard Paul Maurice's name as he's the guy. Like, he wants the job. Pete DeBoer is talking about him. It looks like that's going to be who it is. But I didn't think it would happen till this week. I think it leaked out through the NHL national channels. I think Florida was going to wait a week to do it. They were going to do it this week, like we had talked about, once the finals were over, kind of get some of that spotlight on them. But it leaked out on Thursday morning, and that was that, or Wednesday morning. So anyway, Florida feels like at the point where they're at right now, they need an experienced coach. Paul Maurice has been a coach in the league since he was with the Hartford Whalers back in like 1995. So he's got 24, 25 years. He's coached in the AHL. He's coached in the KHL. But most of his coaching has been a head coach in the National Hockey League. And, you know, listen, they want Andrew Brunette back, but they just didn't feel like they could take a risk. They couldn't afford, and we talked about this too, you couldn't afford any more on the field training, or, you know, they needed a guy who's been there, done that.
What if I tell you Paul Maurice has not done that, has not gotten it done, and it's not really an inspiring hire?
Okay. And I'll tell you, for hockey people, we'll tell you that he hasn't had any, you know, his teams have stunk. He took over a crappy Hartford team. He's never had a team like this. When he took over Winnipeg, they were the dregs. They had just relocated from Atlanta. They'd never won a playoff game, much less a series in Winnipeg or in Atlanta. You know, that was a bad franchise that had just relocated. He took over a bad Toronto team. He has not had good teams. He's also had 9 playoff teams. He's taken 3 teams to the conference finals, and he's taken 1 to the Stanley Cup finals. He's a very smart coach. He's a very, yeah, I mean, he's not
But you can tell he's a great talker, smart guy.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy. He's a lawyer. He got Pete DeBoer into coaching. They're very close. He's very close with John Cooper. Some of the better coaches in the league really do respect him. And listen, Barry Trotz, we talked about him last week. If Barry Trotz is interested, then he's at the top of your list. He was not interested. The Florida Panthers
He didn't turn down the Panthers. He just wasn't interested in coaching anymore.
From what I was told, the Panthers didn't even talk to Trotz after pretty much finding out that he wasn't interested. And that's what he told his hometown Winnipeg Jets. He doesn't want to coach right now. So that was never an option.
Was there another name?
I would have said that you know, Paul Maurice is right there as the top free agent in coaching.
Okay. All right.
I'm a Pete DeBoer, and I would have said Pete DeBoer as well. And that wouldn't have been an inspiring pick, because a lot of people are like, oh, he failed here. He failed here with a junk team, and almost got that junk team into the playoffs. So, listen, it's a 3-year deal. He's a guy that's going to come in here and try and get this team over the hump. He alluded to it. I spoke with him on Thursday. We spoke one-on-one, and one of the things he said is, with the challenges that the Panthers have with the salary cap, everybody and their mother is going to expect this team to improve over what they did this year, and that's going to be really hard to do. I asked Sasha Barkov about that 2 weeks left in the season, and I'm like, what does this mean for next year's team? I mean, you guys are setting all kinds of records. Anything less than this next year is going to be a failure. And I think Paul Maurice recognizes that. This team won, I think, had 121 points, something like that. They're not going to have that this year. They're not going to have 121 points. They might not win the Atlantic this year, but they might be better. And I think you have an experienced guy like Paul Maurice who understands that can withstand some of the questions. Oh, how come you guys have lost, you know, these games? You didn't do that last year. Well, this isn't last year. This is a new season, and the goal isn't the regular season. The goal isn't the President's Trophy, which it wasn't this year either. You've got to be prepared for the playoffs, and I think that they're going to play more towards like what Tampa did. Tampa, throughout the year, looks uninspired, but they're getting ready for the playoffs. They don't care about a Tuesday night game against Ottawa. They're going for the – then that's kind of the mentality, I think, that Paul Maurice is going to instill in the Panthers, and he can handle some of those questions about why this team isn't as good in the standings as last year's team.
Well, I mean, that part – I won't give a shit about it. I'm going to measure this team in the playoffs.
You might in the moment. You might say, in February, and this team's in third place in the Atlantic. Last year, they were running away. You might not. You may. Other people will, though.
In the regular season, I will only be worried about them is if they're playing like shit and they're out of the playoffs and all that. But I expect them to be at the top of the standings, if not number one, number two, three, whatever.
Sure.
Right? But yes. I'm going to they have now crossed the threshold. It's not about your regular season anymore. It's now, dude, you got to get past that second round. You got to get to the Eastern Conference, get to the Stanley Cup final. Show me that you can advance now in the playoffs. Show me that you're a tougher team throughout the season, the regular season into the playoffs, that you're sacrificing more out there. They did improve their defense overall from what we've seen a couple of years ago, so that's good. but now you've got to take it to that next level. That's the way I'm looking at it. Obviously, I'm not you and Dwork. You guys know this sport inside and out. And so when I tell you a Paul Maurice is not an inspirational guy, you know more about him, so you're going to be a little bit.
And I'm not disagreeing with that. Yeah, but I think he's a safe, smart move. I'm not saying he's inspirational. He's not a rah-rah guy. He's not Joel Quinville doing the.
I'm just saying, no, I'm
throwing
just saying
the rings on the table.
Right.
Oh,
right.
For
as
sure.
A fan,
no, for sure.
You hire Joel freaking Quinville, and you're like, F yeah, dude. You know what I'm saying? You bring in Barry Trotz, and you're like, okay, I'm not what you are in hockey. You know your shit. I don't. But I know enough to know that Barry Trotz, oh, now that's the shit. Let's go. Let's roll, you know? And so when I hear Paul Maurice and I see that he has almost as many losses as wins, and, you know, and
he's the NHL leader in losses. I mean, he's the all-time leader in losses for a coach. No kidding. I know that. And he doesn't have that ring to throw on the table. But, again, he's a very smart coach. He's going to change Florida's defensive systems. The Panthers, he's a player coach, but he's one that garners respect because they know what he's talking about. Because when he goes into these meetings with these players, they know that they're going to be prepared. And, you know, listen, with that experience, he's going to be able to change things on the fly. I think that Andrew Burnett is going to get there. He's not there yet. I think this was a great learning experience for him. But again, the Panthers just can't afford right now. They are not a rebuilding team. This year was not a fluke. Joel Quinville should still be the coach of this team. It was an opportunity to, and I don't know. I don't even know if the Panthers regret not making a move like bringing a Paul Maurice in, say, in April, and having that guy coach the playoffs, but they didn't want to rock any boats. And it didn't work, right? It didn't work. And they get knocked out by the Lightning, and we'll see what happens moving on from here. But he's going to change some defensive systems. You're going to see a little tighter defensive play, not as loose, not as turnover prone, but he knows the talent that he has here. He's not going to take away any of that. The Panthers still have a lot of talent. This is a very good team. This is a powerhouse team. By all accounts, there's going to be some changes, but this is still a powerhouse team that's goal right now is to win the Stanley Cup.
All right. Now that you're a little bit more removed from the Panthers end of the season, are you anywhere in my neighborhood that they need to find themselves another rock star on this team? And maybe you need to use Jonathan Huberdeau to get that rock star. I still feel they need another dude to take the heat, just like Jimmy Butler needs that guy to take the heat off him. I think Barkov needs his Batman or his Robin. I don't think Huberto's that guy.
You've got Sam Reinhart. You've got Sam Reinhart who could be that guy. You've got him. You've got Sam Bennett. I know. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything out there that you can, you know, use. That's the problem. So, especially with the Panthers, when the Panthers, you're looking at, even if you trade, I don't think they're trading Jonathan Huberdeau, but they very well could. He's got 1 year left on his contract. They can start extending him in two weeks. He can sign a contract extension with the team. Those negotiations are ongoing right now. If the Panthers don't think they can sign Jonathan Huberdeau for the money they want, the term they want, or whatever it is, they might have to trade him because you can't lose him for nothing. And you would get quite the haul back for Jonathan Huberdeau, even though he's only got 1 year left on the deal. Teams would love to have the guy that ended up second in the scoring in the National Hockey League. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Jonathan Huberdeau wants to stay with the Panthers. I think they'll work something out.
No names of any disgruntled stars or anybody that could be available in the NHL.
Right now where the Panthers salary cap is, no, because you can't fit anything in. You can't fit anything in. The Panthers have like right now $2 million under the cap. There's no room for anything. Huberdeau only makes six. So, you know, it's not like it's that much. He doesn't make that much. So that's the beauty of having you. Last year, you had Huberdeau and Barkov on $6 million deals. You had both those players for $12 million. So even if you move Huberdeau, You're not saving. What are you going to get for $6 million? When you're talking about a disgruntled superstar,
well, you're going to have to put together two or three players probably to go get that star. Then, right
now, if you move some money around, have Jenny Malkin of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's a little long in the tooth right now. He's available. He's going to be a free agent. I would have liked to have him 5 years ago than right now, but maybe he's a guy. But I don't think you can – he's not coming here on the cheap. I know he loves South Florida and all that. You know, who doesn't? But you're not going to get him on an affordable deal, and I don't know that he's going to push that button anyway. But he's a name out there, you know, that a guy that's won, that's been a success in this league over the years. But other than that, it's just going to be, I mean, there's so many dominoes that have to fall. There's so much work that Bill Zito has to do. And that's one thing that Paul Maurice pointed to. He was like, listen, they not only have a plan A, but they've got a plan 1A, 1B, 1C. If this happens, we can do this. And if that happens, we can do that. They've got a whole scenario of stuff, but they've got to move money. They don't have any salary cap money. They don't have any. You can't move Sergei Bobrovsky. He's got the no trade. He's not going anywhere. You're going to have to find money somewhere else. And I don't know where it's going to be. There could be some substantial trades. But again, if you're just talking moving Jonathan Huberdeau at that $6 million price point, that still doesn't do it.
By the way, does it become Night Show next year? Let me not say, does it become Night Show? Are you at a point in his career where you have to give him a fair shot to be the starter already? Or is it still, he should be, you know, the backup and maybe playing a little minor league hockey too throughout the season at times?
Yeah, that's a great point. I don't know. I think you come into camp and you open up the competition, right? I mean, that really wasn't the case. Joel Quenneville from the start of training camp last year said it, you know, it's Sergei Bobrovsky's. And I don't know if that was just to pump him up after his poor playoff performance, or he saw something in Bob during the offseason that really was like, okay, this guy's ready to go, because Bob was ready to go. Bob had a great start to the season, and that carried over throughout the year. But I think, you're looking at it now at 21-year-old Spencer Knight. Maybe you give him some more starts. If not, you're going to have to send him back to Charlotte, just like you did this year. Give him some consistent starts. Who comes up and backs up Bob, I don't know. But I think that's one of those deals where time will tell. I do think you open it up in training camp, the best player plays. But I still think with that contract, with his experience, you still give the wink and the nod to Bob. If Bob even looks close, he's the guy.
All right. Luongo, I get no surprise, right? Getting into the Hall of Fame.
Never know with those things. I mean, he was going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, the thing was, this was a backed up Hall of Fame class. They didn't have an induction ceremony last year, or they didn't vote last year because one was canceled because of COVID. So everything's been kind of pushed in. So you had two groups of first time players eligible. So that may have affected him, but no, he gets in on the first ballot. I think we all knew that he would be a Hall of Famer this year or next year. Great for Roberto Luongo, great for the organization. He's really the first player that spent the majority of his career, or a big chunk of it, as a Florida Panther, now in the Hall of Fame. Pavel Bure was the closest to that, and he was here, 2.5 years? So to have Roberto Luongo in the Hall of Fame is a big boost to this organization, and I know it's great for him. So 2-time Olympic gold. He didn't win the Stanley Cup, But a great goalie in the NHL nonetheless.
No doubt about that, man. Definitely a great goalie. All right, what are you working on at Florida Hockey Now, which you all should subscribe so you can keep up with everything in the Panthers off season?
Well, if you look at Sunday, I had the conversation with Paul Maurice where we go into a lot of detail about what he wants to bring to this Panther team, what he thinks this team can do moving forward, as well as his thoughts on Andrew Brunette returning to the staff. I asked him, are you comfortable? I mean, Andrew Brunette, the interim coach, very popular guy. A lot of fans wanted to keep him. You all right with it? And he's like, yeah, man, come on. So a lot of stuff there from Paul Maurice. We have the Roberto Luongo stuff. And we're still working on the different, looking at the future players, looking at players, what their future is here with Florida. We're working on Patrick Hornquist, Joe Thornton, Claude Giroux, Ben Chiarot. So with the draft coming up here in about 10 days, that's when trades are going to be started to be made. Then we got free agency starting up in about 2.5 weeks. So very busy time for the National Hockey League. It's going to be a very busy time for the Panthers as well.
All right, looking forward to it, man. And Maurice, I will say this, he's a likable guy, man, because when you hear him talk, it's not like he doesn't – he makes a lot of sense in what he says and how he delivers the message. I hope they found their guy. That's
this will be a very prepared team. I mean, this team will nothing's going to surprise the Panthers, and I think that's what Bill Zito was looking for. The Panthers were surprised by Tampa Bay in round two and didn't do anything about it, and I think that's the biggest thing. The adjustments were not there, and I think that, you know, they wanted to go with someone who, I think if Paul Maurice is the coach, you're making in-game adjustments not only – but at least after game one, you're changing something.
Follow him on Twitter at George Richards. You got to do it if you're a Panthers fan. George, as always, you're a stud, my brother. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thanks, bud. Be good.
You got it. There you go, George Richards. And, of course, A. Lenny Locksmith, baby. 855-869-5625. That's 855-869-5625. 24-hour locksmith. House, car locks, residential, commercial. So if you're locked out of your home, you call A. Lenny Locksmith. You're locked out of your car, you call A. Lenny Locksmith. Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County, St. Lucie, you name it, you call alennylocksmith.com. They will take care of you. Go to the Twitter page at A. Lenny Locksmith. Go to the website, alennylocksmith.com. Our friends in Tampa and Orlando, we can take care of you also. We've got locations there in Tampa and Orlando and also in Phoenix, Arizona, and other locations coming. Car key replacement and programming also available. So some car keys they need to get programmed at A. Lenny Locksmith. They do it all. 855-869-5625. That's the lockdown segment. Here we go. We're talking with Steve Calabro here, the GM of Hialeah Park. He told me about some nice things that they're doing here and something really nice for the employees. I can't talk about it, but it was really, really cool and always good to meet with Steve out here at Hialeah Park. Now we're going to talk a little okey with my man, David Dwork. How you feeling, baby? How you feeling? You feeling good?
Always, man. Life is a gift, right? Life is a blessing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We are waiting at 6 o'clock now. The NBA moratorium will be starting. So the craziness starts. Walk us through in hockey the dates, the times. When does the craziness start, and how active do you expect the Panthers to be?
I mean, the big date, really, the draft is coming up next week, the 7th and 8th in Montreal. The big day is July 13th. That's when the new league year begins. That's when teams can start signing new players. That's the date that will, that's basically, the NBA day that you're counting down to right now. In terms of the Panthers, I think Bill Zito, look, he's got to figure out first how hard he's going to go to keep the UFAs that are leaving. How hard does he want to go after Mason Marchment? How hard does he want to go after Claude Giroux? Does he want to try to retain Giroux and Ben Chiarot, who he gave up a lot for to bring in at the trade deadline?
That would be a disaster if they leave after what you've given up for them, right?
He's done in the past, guys that he's spent big to acquire. When you think of like Sam Bennett, you think of Brendan Montour, the first trade deadline, he brought them in and he retained them. And, it's worked out well. So I would think that he would like to retain Giroux or Chiarot. Probably wouldn't be able to do both, even with the little bit of cap relief that they're going to get from the unfortunate injury to Anthony Duclair. He's probably going to be going on long-term IR, which would give them another $3 million in cap space to work with.
So you answered that. You answered that question already. Okay, because I was going to ask about that.
No, so I mean, that might, it sucks what happens to Duke coming off a career year. I think he had like 31 goals, 56 points were both career numbers for him, but. He's, we don't know for sure the severity of the injury, but generally with Achilles injuries, 6 to 8 months, I think, is a realistic timeline because it's such a big one anyway. 6 to 8 months from now, it's still just February. Hockey season doesn't end. Regular season doesn't end until May. So it's not like he's out for the season. Hopefully not. You know, we don't know for sure, but I would think, you know, hopefully he'll come back, but at least give Zito an opportunity to move a little bit more.
But around, you know what they're going to do with Duclair. They're not going to bring him back until the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. Everybody keeps saying they're going to Kucherov. They're going to do what Tampa did.
Of course they're going to do that. They have to do that. Ekblad could have played sooner, and he didn't either.
I think it's a product of the situation. I think with Ekblad, you were locked up for your playoff spot. You were competing for a President's Trophy, which, you know, you're not going to bring him back for that. I think if they had needed wins, perhaps we would have seen things happen a little differently. I don't know for sure. They were in a situation where it didn't matter. We don't know what the situation is going to be February, March.
True.
We hope, we assume that with this roster, that the new head coach is going to be able to take this roster and get them into a secure playoff spot by that time, that they should be one of the best teams in the league. If they're not, that's a whole nother shit show that you're going to have to worry about, because then you really need to explore not just Duclair, but the trade deadline that'll be coming up at the time. This is a team that I think for the first time in a long, long time, maybe ever, Orlando, we're going into the season thinking this Panthers team needs to be one of the top two or three teams in the league. That would justify what I see on paper, what this roster is. They went out, they got their handpicked head coach now. I think that the expectations have never been bigger. What that means for the roster, we're going to have to wait and see. But as we were just kind of touching on, I'm really curious how hard they're going to go after the guys that they spent so much to bring in at the trade deadline last year, especially considering Giroux wants to stay. I mean, he should. There's interest on both sides. It's just this is a guy who could get big money if he goes UFA. Teams will throw money at him, more than the Panthers would offer him. So how bad does he want to chase the cup at 34 years old?
Right. Yeah. And the problem is in this league, it's a hard cap number too, right? Yeah. There's no luxury tax you can pay and go over and all that kind of stuff. It's a hard cap number. So it becomes a real problem for the Panthers where they're at right now. It's almost like you got to this. I almost feel like at times it's going to be hard for them to come back with a better team than they were last year. It's almost like if you don't improve from within, then it's going to be, you know, maybe a lesser year than you had last year, almost. I almost feel that way because of the cap limitations.
No, you're not wrong. They're going to need, if they want to sustain as a great team for the next several years, they're going to need Anton Lundell to take that next step. They're going to need Spencer Knight eventually to be that next guy, because these are guys that they're going to be, you know, they're still on their ELCs, their entry-level contracts now. That'll expire after next season for Knight and Lundell the year after. Then, you know, you can still get guys like that relatively cheap because they're still going to be in their early 20s. And that's when, you know, they sign their bridge deals before the big deal is generally how it goes in the NHL. But you need that, because if they've got so many guys that are locked up, they've got Barkov to this big deal. They've got Bob for another 4 years, probably, you know, unless, you know, Zito his way into another GM's brain and just, you know, inception somehow the idea of acquiring Sergei Bobrovsky and his contract being a good idea. You know, Zito's got skills, so, you know, who knows what he can pull off. But you're absolutely right. The problem is past Anton Lundell and past Spencer Knight, you don't really know who the next heir apparents are. You think Denisenko, you think Heponiemi, you think the younger guys like the Sourdiffs and the Schwintz, if they're going to take that next step, these are guys that are just starting to dip their toe into the professional game, let alone the NHL game. So it's going to be a little while, but they don't have those for sure prospect guys anymore. They've really leveraged so many of those younger assets, whether it's prospects or whether it's draft picks. They've leveraged all that to become a cup contending team right now. So the window is there. The window is open for this team right now. In terms of, are they going to be better next year than last year roster wise? I mean, probably not. But I mean, remember, the roster that they ended the year with was the one with Giroux and Sherratt and these guys that they added after the fact. We don't know how the season's going to play out. We don't know what Zito may be up to at the trade deadline. We don't know what veterans are going to be willing to come here for pennies to chase a Stanley Cup, as we've seen team players do. They'll go to the best teams that they think they have a chance to win, and they'll say, you know what? I've made my money. Let me chase a cup here.
Knocked out in the second round, I don't know if you're the team that's convincing people that you're a cup titleist. You know what I'm saying? They might look at the Rangers more than they would – the Panthers at this point in time. They might look at Tampa more than they look at the Panthers at this point in time. Hell, Carolina will be a battle for them. That might be another sexy destination for some hockey players. So is so then my dream has been crushed is kind of what I've been coming to the last couple of days to a week that I told you that I still think you need a Batman or Robin to Barkov, and you're going to have to trade Huberto to probably go get that guy. But I'm finding out two things, because one, obviously I'm not nearly as smart as you and George are following this sport, but it doesn't look like there's that stud that's disgruntled that's available. And two, fiscally, it just doesn't look like it's going to be possible, because you're going to have to give Hubie anyways more money as it is. And whoever you're going to trade for Hubie, you're going to have to give them a lot of money because he's going to be a stud. So I almost have a feeling that that want, that need for that extra star on this team is not going to happen at all for the Panthers this offseason.
No, this offseason I wouldn't, because I think the priority is to sign Jonathan Huberto to that long-term deal. I think they feel that they have their Batman and Robin in Barkov and Huberto.
Wish I agreed.
You can't fault them. I mean, these are guys that have turned into franchise players. They've fulfilled their draft stock. Now you can't. Like you want a Connor McDavid.
You got to show me in the playoffs the franchise thing, man. You're a really really good player, but I'll go with Barkov. But a franchise guy is a guy that leads your team and comes through and. In these key moments and big moments and stuff. And when I watch the two guys that Tampa has in our state right here, they're not wired the same way as those guys. They're not wired like Kucherov and Stamkos, man. They're not. Not even Barkov is wired like those guys.
Well, and those guys have walked the path to get to where they are. Like, they've gone through the gauntlet. They went through playoff heartbreak multiple times before they went on this run the last few years. Remember, the year before they started this run was the year that they won the President's Trophy and got swept out of the first round. And it was the same coach. It was Kucherov. It was Stamkos. It was Hedman. It was Vasilevsky. Same exact guys. Same exact questions. And I'm not saying that the Panthers are the Lightning or anything like that. I'm just saying, in terms of the view of these guys, they're looking at them like they can be there. They, with the experience that they're getting right now, they're viewing them that they can be those guys,
yeah,
that they can be playoff performers. We have not seen it yet, but these guys are still in their mid-20s. They're entering their prime years now.
I'm a little tired of the whole we're waiting and they're building and they're learning, yeah. And all they've been here
you're not wrong.
They've been here what, 7 years already, right?
Yeah, 2013, I think Barkov was drafted. Huberto, I think the year before, but I think, yeah.
Dude, 7 years. It's 8 or 9 years.
Closer to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
My God, bro.
But they were teenagers at that time. And again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
But most of these some bitches show that when they're in their early 20s. I don't care if you're Matthews, or I don't care if you're McDavid. I don't care if you're Sidney Crosby or if you're Wayne Gretzky or whoever the hell you are. When you're 23, you're already showing me you're an absolute badass, and that you will not be denied. That's not these guys, and no, we're
you're
still
asking these guys to be, yeah, the best of the best. I mean, that's a really high bar.
Well, then I need somebody to get to Patrick Kane's level, bro. I need it. I need somebody. I need one of those two guys to be one of those kind of guys. I'm not asking both of them to be it, but I am asking that one of them has to be a son of a bitch. I need him to be that guy that will not be denied, that is driven. I need him to be Jimmy Butler, bro. I need him to be.
The best chance you have of them becoming that guy is getting pissed about what's happened the last couple of years. To go through the experience and say, oh, look, we have a good team now. We've been on this crappy team for the majority of my career. Now we're good. Now we're one of the best.
Barkov has a goober type character, bro. He's oh, golly gee whiz. I mean, he's probably a guy that doesn't
still
even say
to win.
He still doesn't
want to go out there and be embarrassed on the ice and lose. Like, he still puts his blood, sweat, and tears into it.
I get it.
Just
but
because
he's
kind of, you know, a ho-hum nice guy off the ice. I'm just saying, I'm not.
He's a ho-hum nice guy on the ice, too. He's a ho-hum nice guy on the ice, too. I'm sorry. I don't see that dog in him. I love his talent. His talent is unfreaking deniable. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't want to get rid of Barkov ever, but I kind of think you got to part ways with Huberto and get that guy. But I'm just coming to the realization that it doesn't seem like the money's there, and I'm not smart enough, but it seems like from everything I read from you guys and reading some of the national stuff, there really isn't like that disgruntled star available that they can go out and get on some shitty team or something that they're willing to part ways because they're not going anywhere. There just isn't
that
guy.
I don't think there's a step up on Huberto that's available.
Right.
That you could, you know, conceivably bring out like that.
Right.
I think perhaps you're undervaluing him a little bit based on, but that's your, you know, your opinion, which you're absolutely entitled to. The hockey view of a guy like Huberto, he's one of the top right now.
He's super
universally
talented.
Viewed. They're, super the talented. The value on these guys isn't diminishing because of the playoff failures. Not yet. They're too young. They haven't had enough opportunities to be branded like playoff failure type guys.
Okay.
They're just getting started.
All right. I mean, I hope so, man. I hope so. We'll see what ends up happening. At least
they're going to get opportunities. What they do with them is that'll be the test. That's where you're going to find out if you're right or wrong, but they're going to get those opportunities and they're going to get them here in Florida. If they don't, it's monstrumental. This team needs to be a playoff team for the next several years. That's how they're built. That's what they should be. And they're going to get their chances to show that they can be the champions that they believe they are. They're going to get playoff opportunities to step up. And I think, my opinion, based on the way that they just kind of fell flat this year, particularly on a team that had such big expectations, for your leaders to come up empty in the biggest games, like, that should fuel both of them, regardless of who they are.
All right, so if they don't respond in the next playoffs, then you're on my side of the fence then.
If they don't respond in the next playoff, then I will be pretty disappointed. I'll be thinking maybe Orlando's right about these.
Oh, maybe. Come on.
I got to give myself a little room to breathe, bro.
All right. What do you think about Paul Maurice since you weren't with us last week?
I like Paul Maurice as a person. I like who he is as a coach. I think it's a good fit in that he's kind of – He's the kind of guy that, like, if you're an ego player, if you're a me player, you're not going to get along with him. He's the kind of guy that's going to rally the troops. He's going to be honest with you. He's going to give you his assessment. He's going to roll with his best guys. And I just think this is a Panthers team right now that's very work-driven. They're very together. We heard all the stories this year about how they were such a good team off the ice, such a good room. I think Maurice is the kind of guy that's not going to disrupt that. He's not going to go in there trying to be, you know, this big ego yelling and screaming and all that stuff. He's a very professional coach. I think it's a good fit. I think it'll be cool to see a guy who's been around for so long. I mean, his first year behind the NHL bench was the year the Panthers went to the finals. That's how long this guy's been around. He's only 55, but he's been around for a minute. I think it's safe to say this is probably the best team he's had to work with roster wise. So that will be interesting to see if he can, you know, work with them. I think what I just keep going back to, Orlando, is this is Zito's choice. We've seen Zito handpick this roster, mold it. You know, we've seen him reshape the front office. They created the goaltending department. Everything that Zito has done since he's been here, the only thing that he didn't really have his full handprints on was the head coaching job. And this is his guy. So if we're going to believe in all the moves that Zito and his guys have been making and all these great players, these great additions, these diamonds in the rough, if this is the guy that they believe can lead the team to the next level, I'm for that. And just knowing Paul Maurice, the brief interactions that I've had with him over the years, particularly recently, I'm a fan of the hire. I like it. I think it's a little understated, which is a good thing, that they didn't necessarily go out for the big whale. They went out for the right fit. I'm for it. I'm excited to see what they can do when the season gets here.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at David Dwork. And, of course, catch his work there at WPLG. And, of course, Chirping the Cats podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that so you can keep up with the Florida Panthers, and then keep up with them every week here on our Lockdown
segment.
New episode segment.
Coming later today on the Chirping the Cats podcast.
I love it. There you go. Subscribe and follow and listen. As always, my brother, thank you. Appreciate you. We will catch up next week, my friend.
Yes, sir. Be well.
Thank you. A. Lenny Locksmith, 24-hour locksmith services, house, car locks. You've been locked out of your car? You call A. Lenny Locksmith. You're locked out of your home? You call A. Lenny Locksmith. You need to get that car key reprogrammed? You call A. Lenny Locksmith. You're opening up a new business. You need new locks? Call A. Lenny Locksmith. They will take care of you, folks. And tell them that Big O sent you all throughout South Florida, man, from Dade all the way up to Port St. Lucie. And, of course, our friends in Tampa and in Orlando, we've got locations there. And we've got a location in Phoenix, Arizona also. So go check it out for yourself. Call them 561-284-5090. That's 561-284-5090. For alennylocksmith.com.